day. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Henrik from Sweden. I hope you're doing well today. It is nice to be able to speak with you again. I hope your week has been going good and that you've gotten some things done. If you're taking it easy this weekend, I do hope that you enjoy yourself and spend some time with your family or friends. And by the way, if you're new to the program, our website is redicecreations.com and redicemembers.com. We're going to touch base with Dean Clifford again from Canada. He was with us in April 2013 last time when he spoke about his recent arrest at that point and why the RCMP was after him. Well, now he's just gotten out after spending 16 months in prison. Well, stay tuned. We'll talk about why, and you'll get the full story from him. Well, Mr. Clifford, welcome back. It's good to speak with you again. Congratulations on being out, if that's the right wording for it, right?
Well, it's kind of limited freedom, but that's what it was before at this point. So, yeah, I'm out pending still a couple more charges to go, trumped up charges as a political prisoner, but that's something we could talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. I mean, it's we've been speaking with a couple of people from Canada in the last year here that have been faced with different violations and things like that of you know, hate speech laws and politically correct issues. They're not allowed to look at certain historical events, etc. Arthur Topham being one of these, and there's a number of other ones as well. So you're part of that category now. You might be addressing some somewhat different topics, but it's evident of how Canada treats its thought criminals, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, Canada, land of the free. No, we're just the most deluded people on the planet because we actually believe we live in the freest country on the planet, on the freest land on the planet. And anything could be further from the truth. Canadians are just pretty docile people. We just really kind of don't stir the pot a whole lot until someone really messes with us. So that's the only reason Canada looks like it doesn't have the same problems the rest of the world has. But no, it's really bad here. It's really communist right now. So
yeah, it's very much the same as with Sweden, I think. I think the climate, even the temperature of the people is very much the same as well. We take an awful lot before we actually decide to speak up about something, and I feel it seems to be the same with Canadians. But, Dean, before we kind of carry into the meat of everything we're going to talk about here, maybe you can just bring us up to speed a little bit. We might have some people with us who haven't heard our past shows with you. Can you tell us first of what happened, why you ended up in jail, and kind of bring us up on the backstory a bit first?
Well, for those who don't know me or don't know me very well, I started to become a very outspoken individual in the truth movement a number of years back now. I'd say probably 5 years ago I started to become very outspoken. Some videos, some small little training seminars we were having in my office in Winnipeg got uploaded to the internet, and the next thing you know, I'm getting offers from all around the world to do radio interviews and try to teach people their natural rights and whatnot. And I got really exposed to the limelight. And I've been involved in this now, though, for 19 years, 15 years actively since I've actually kind of caught on to the scam that's going on and started learning my rights. But about, 17 months ago now, 16 and a half months ago, I was teaching at one of my seminars in Hamilton, Ontario in Canada. We had a weekend-long seminar. We were exposing the corrupt system to people and trying to show people what the truth is and how to stand up for themselves and what their rights are and how we can maybe change the system and start building a new one for ourselves and make the world a better place. When I got arrested 30 minutes after the end of my conference on Sunday, November 24, 2013, and a team of Ontario Provincial Police, OPP officers, just walked in, grabbed me in the middle of a crowd of people as we were doing a meet and greet after the seminar, and I was, for the most part, literally just a black bag and disappeared for 16 months. They had a bunch of what they call charges up against me that they've been failing at miserably now for 16 months. They kept me in jail, one of the worst jails there is in Manitoba. They deprived me of basically every fundamental right that I have as a man, and I was subjected to pretty much every indignity that a man could be subjected to in prison. I finally got released about a week and a half ago on bail with some very, very strict conditions. And other than that, I remain unconvicted. So at this point, I was a 16-month political prisoner, completely unconvicted, who won't be convicted, just to kind of shut me up and silence me for a while. right about the same time they took down a bunch of other well-known figures around the planet there. So I really do believe there was a very coordinated effort to try to crush the movement or at least slow it down when this all went down 16 months ago. So I'm out. I'm still fighting. I'm undeterred, and I'm ready to bring the truth to people. So.
Yeah, so you've been in for 16 months. We'll talk a little bit later about conditions, what happened, even what charges and all the stuff people need to know. But it's not the first time. This wasn't your first arrest, though, right? You've had a couple of run-ins with some of officers here and there. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I've had. I've been in jail briefly 5 times now, and they've all been. It's been increasing, and it's in the amount of time I've spent in and the amount of charges they try to bring against me. Like, it's just they're incrementally trying to do this. I had just finished being in jail for 26 days in February of 2013 on 11 charges. I was kept in solitary confinement the entire time at the jail I was at, the Winnipeg Remand Center in Manitoba, here in Canada. All 11 charges against me were dismissed, and that court file is now sealed and gone. It disappeared, and if you try to look into it, they'll tell you that there never were any charges against me, and they'll deny I was even in custody. So this most recent one was 4 months after that. It started with driving with my seatbelt under my arm. I got pulled over because apparently some individual who calls himself a police officer, whatever that is, didn't like the way I was wearing my seatbelt under my arm. So he made a claim against me and pulled me over and tried to charge me with a number of other offenses, one of which was not having a driver's license, which is true. I don't have one. So he tried to compel me to do the impossible, to provide something that I don't have. And I don't have government ID of any kind either, so he charged me for failing to identify myself as one of their legal fictions. I was arrested, held in jail for 4 days, got out, and then 4 months later they came and they kicked the door into to my beach house up in Winnipeg Beach where I live in Manitoba here. And I wasn't even home at the time. I was out in Alberta helping my brother who was in jail on similar charges for more nonsense against our family. And, they trumped up a bunch of new charges against me and issued a Canada-wide warrant for my arrest. And they claim, although they've never produced a valid warrant, no matter how many times they were asked. And then they waited until my conference in Hamilton there about a month later to come and just walk into the room and black bag me, and I was gone. So I spent 16 months in jail fighting that. And if I thought the system was corrupt and absurd before, I can prove it now, and it's worse than I ever thought it was.
Oh boy! What was the charges? There has to be some kind of, I know that you distinguish, you know, what they are up to and what they're doing with their legalese and all their, hoops and loops and all that kind of stuff. But what were some of the official things that they tried to charge you on?
Well, some of the official charges they tried to get me on were 8 breaches of a recognizance that they made me sign to get out of jail earlier that summer. Those were all beaten. They couldn't prove that the terms of the conditions of the recognizance were binding because you're forced into signing them. So they lost every single one of those. The main charges they were trying to come after me for was, out of my beach house, I keep, allegedly, 2 rifles and 2 shotguns I keep out there because I'm out in the middle of the country.
Right.
And those were in a closet in my office. And when they kicked in my door to serve allegedly a warrant for my arrest, for these traffic offenses from earlier in the summer. So they claim to have had a warrant for my arrest and the right to go and kick the door into my house over traffic violations from earlier on that summer. And they went through my house, they found these 2 rifles and 2 shotguns, and they turned that into about 27 different criminal charges that they were trying to proceed on indictable, which, you know, they could face anywhere from 20 to 40 years in jail for doing absolutely nothing. So they're losing everything. They finally had to let me out of jail. So I continue to fight on. I think we're down to about 11 charges here from a total of 27 that have been seen so far by the courts since I've been in jail. And since I've been in jail over the last 16 months, since February 2013, I've now beaten 24 of 27 charges they brought against me. And they just continue to come against me, so...
So what was all this to kind of get to the initial point here of when they started kind of eyeing you? Was it over traffic offenses? I know you had to run in with an officer too, but it seems to me, Dean, that they wanted to try to make an example out of you. And, you know, we can speculate why that is. Either it's related to the things you're talking about or it's to some of the initial steps that you were fighting them on and they didn't manage to kind of nail you on some of those charges. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's exactly what it does. They lost a lot of face when they had to withdraw all the charges against me in the previous February when one of their officers attacked me in the Sobeys parking lot in Gimli, Manitoba, and I defended myself from an unlawful arrest, and they had to withdraw all those charges and let me out. And unfortunately, I think that gave a lot of credibility to the law movement, to the truth movement. And so whenever they get an opportunity now, I think they're just trying to come at me as hard as they can. And I'm thinking the premise here is that, number one, yes, they made it very clear to me that maybe I should just shut up and stop being so public. That was made very clear to me that maybe I should just shut up. And that number
in
two
jail?
Is,
sorry, was that in jail or was that in,
oh,
before that?
Yeah, absolutely. That was in jail. I mean, I had, it was very well known why I was in there. There's some conversations that went on with people in the jail that, it was made clear to me that this is entirely political. Everything that's being done against me was entirely politically motivated. The jail was receiving all their instructions on how to treat me directly from the Attorney General's Office of Manitoba, and I was told that straight out. This is coming from the highest seat, which is the Attorney General for Manitoba that runs the prisons and the courts. So they were getting their instructions directly from that office. I mean, I was thrown in solitary confinement for 30 days at a time for no reason. My phone was taken away for 90 days at a time for no reason while I'm trying to defend myself in court. I couldn't contact people. Mail was being kept from me. Mail that was sent out, everything was read and photocopied. They went through everything. They denied me mail. They were denying me visits. You name it, they did it to me. So it's entirely politically motivated, and it's meant to... They don't like me because I was willing to stand up for myself and speak out when they started attacking me a few years back. And now that the movement is getting popular and it's gaining traction and we're not really seen as kooks anymore, and they can't write us off as crazy anymore because even average everyday people are starting to take notice now, I think they really had to smash us down and say, well, yeah, you know what? Okay, yeah, you might have rights, and you might be right, but you know what? We're just going to do this to you anyways.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the terms you're out on now? Is there certain, have they restrained you in any way that you can't speak about certain things, or what's the conditions? I don't know what the right term is here.
No, I'm sure they would have loved if they could have done that, but I think that would have been too obvious if they tried to say I couldn't speak on the, you know, go on the internet anymore or have a cell phone or anything like that. Even though the de facto Crown attorneys, the people who believe that there's something called a Crown attorney, tried to have the court not release me, and they tried to have the court not allow some of the people who were going to be surety for me, basically because they said, well, Mr. Clifford is just going to go right on teaching people again. He's going to be back on the internet and doing seminars. And how do we stop him from doing that? And they didn't bring that up on the record, but they brought that up with my sureties when the people that showed up said, yeah, I'm willing to be surety for him.
What is that for those who don't know?
And for those who doesn't know, that basically means when they want you to have a surety, it means they want somebody who's going to make sure you're going to show up for court and somebody they can go after for a financial consideration if you don't show up for future court
right.
hearings.
Right. Okay.
Which I never said I was ever not going to show up for court hearings. They just wanted to make a big deal out of this. So the one individual in particular was really grilled by these so-called de facto Crown attorneys saying, how do you know that Dean's not going to start teaching conferences again? And what if he starts going on the internet and teaching people his stuff again? And just trying to scare away anybody from wanting to be a surety for me. And basically my surety had to kind of point out, well, what business is that of yours if he does that? What's that got to do with me? Like, is the court going to make that a condition of his release? Which, of course, they would never bring that up on the record because then it would have been obvious if this is entirely politically motivated. But I did get out. My terms and conditions are I got a curfew right now. I'm allowed to live at one of two places, which is my actual house out in Winnipeg Beach, or my friend's place where I am right now, who was one of my sureties. So I plan on being home by next week, but I'm taking a bit of a time out here at my friend's place and just chilling out and helping out with the farm here and playing with some farm animals. So
right, get some disconnect from some of the environments a bit and getting out about nature a little bit. It's a good idea, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, so I've been busy here and right back into it, like I say. And I got some more court dates coming up, and I'm not really terribly worried about that. Like I say, I think they're down to 11 charges now, and the charges that they have against me right now, even if they did convict me, And even if they were able to sentence me in some way, which, you know, we know the difference between being guilty of the facts and actually doing something wrong. I've spent more time in jail than they could possibly give me, even if they did convict me. So it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to make it to trial. I think I'm going to wind up having a massive federal lawsuit against them for all the damages for stealing 16 months of my life and the resulting permanent damage they've done to me. So
when are you going to be due to go to court again?
The next one I've got scheduled is actually, it'll be 18 months by May 12th. And I have, another pretrial scheduled where it's going to be my 3 hours to tender, facts and evidence into the court file, where I'm going to have to correct the record on a few things, now that I had access to proper resources to be able to get things done. So I have a 3-hour pretrial on May 12th, before an actual Superior Court judge who I don't think is very happy about what's been done to me. So that's May 12th. They've got a trial scheduled for June, but I'm going to have that pushed off now that I'm out because I'm going to need more time to prepare so I can go back with motions to have this discharged before it ever even goes to trial.
Right, yeah. Now, so have any volunteers here stepped forward in terms of representation? Are you representing yourself? I guess my bigger question is if someone has more kind of shown interest in this case, is it kind of a clear violation of your rights?
Well, actually, about 2 months ago, I think my dad finally got so sick of what was going on. He went out and he actually hired a lawyer to try to get me bail. And I fired them immediately. And so that's caused a bit of a ruckus on the internet now because for about a week and a half, a lawyer representing me showed up on the court file on the computers in Winnipeg there. And so that's all over the internet now with people trying to say, oh, look, Dean had to hire a lawyer to get himself out of jail. No, the individual filed a bail hearing for me, because I'd been denied a bail hearing for about 12 months. And that's something else we can talk about. And as soon as I got a hold of, I think my second conversation with this individual, I fired them and said, no, I'm going to be speaking for myself at the hearing. I don't want a lawyer. Like, I'm, you know, I apologize if there's been some kind of a mistake and my dad hired you, but I don't want one of you people because I'm not a legal fiction. And so I represented myself. I don't like the word represented. I spoke for myself. I attended court. I presented myself, spoke for myself in my bail hearing, and was given bail under those terms and conditions I just spoke of. So.
Right, right. Is your father on the same page as you on some law interpretation, by the way, or not?
No, not at all. No. He's not a big fan of my beliefs or my stance at all. He just wanted me out of there. But one thing that this has done, though, at least, is that he has now witnessed exactly how bad this system is. And my father, who defended this government and this system previous to this and, you know, thought that that I was just being a bit of an asshole, and I should maybe just, you know, just do, you know, at least just try to comply and get along with the government a little bit just so I don't spend the rest of my life in jail. After having witnessed all this and been through it and seen how the jail treated him and treated me and dealt with everybody and what the courts have done and how pathetic everything was, he has lost 100% faith in this system altogether. He no longer believes that this system is credible in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Now, what was the bail set up, if you don't mind me asking? I'm sure this is public record anyway, but did you have something to do with what it was set at, or did they just kind of come up with a number? I don't know how this works here.
Well, this is the interesting thing, is that after 16 months and the Crown, the de facto Crown pretended attorneys there not wanting me to be released at all, there was no cash bail whatsoever. It was a surety. They wanted $40,000 in sureties, which is a promise to pay if I don't show up at the next hearings.
I see. Okay.
So I had to sign a little piece of paper that said, yeah, well, I promise to pay the fictional entity called Her Majesty the Queen $10,000 if I don't show up at court.
I see.
That's it. No cash, no nothing.
Did this just come out of the blue all of a sudden? They decided, you know what, or were they processing something in the meantime? How much information do you have about this?
That was just out of the blue as a result of that bail hearing. So.
Oh.
Yeah, they really had a big problem with, of course, the justice in the matter really had a big problem with what they perceive as my not having very much faith in this justice system or believing that their courts are very real and have very much authority. So that's the only reason that they really wanted that $40,000 surety is because I've made statements in the past that I really don't give a shit about their courts. Their courts refuse to recognize my rights, my inalienable and absolute rights as a man. They refuse to recognize me as a living man at all. So why would I recognize them at all? Right? They have a duty and obligation to protect my rights. They're not doing it. So I have deemed them to be completely illegitimate. So they took offense to that and said, well, you know, you've made it clear that you think these courts are illegitimate. So we're going to make sure that we have a very large surety against you to compel your being present at future hearings until this is dealt with. So that's a result of me being public and expressing my views publicly and everything that we do on the internet here to try to wake people up.
Is there any other that you know of cases like this in Canada? As I said, there's a number of other people that are, you know, have been imprisoned on some of the other ridiculous charges in terms of, you know, hate speech and, you know, offenses of different kinds, which of course is a victimless crime. But in terms of speaking out about the kinds of issues that you do, is there any precedence for this?
No, which is unusual. They've never even tried to come after me for any of the stuff that I talk about on the internet. They don't even bring this stuff up in the courts. They are just trying to come after me just for what I phrase as owning property while harming nobody. So this is just a direct result of them trespassing against me, trespassing into my house, violating the sanctity of my home, and deciding that they don't like the fact that I own some property that I have every right to own as a man. So it's nothing to do with hate speech. I know there is some people that are getting in trouble for a lot of stuff across Canada right now. They're really trying to clamp down on people. They don't want us learning our rights. They don't want us learning proper history. They don't want us doing anything except for what they tell us we should know and we should be learning. So I know they're coming after a lot of people.
Exactly, they are. It's pretty scary, but unfortunately, to a certain extent, and I guess thankfully as well at the same time, I think that the more people who are, and this is of course not voluntary in this department at all, but some people are going to be, you know, squeezed out in different ways and capacities, and I think that the more this happens, as I said, unfortunately, it is unfortunate, but nonetheless, for people to wake up and see how rotten the system is and how absurd and contradictory everything is, you know, that they say we're living in a free country, you know, we can voice our opinions, free speech, what have you, but all these things are not true, of course, as we know. But how were you? Tell us a little bit more about how you were treated in prison and how was it like in there? What did you do all day?
Well, you do nothing all day. The prison I was at in Brandon, Manitoba, called Brandon Correctional Center, is known by most of the people I spoke with, other inmates that have been in and out of a lot of prisons across Canada. None of them want to be there. It is the biggest crap hole that Canada could probably produce for a jail. I don't even know how old the facility is, but it's just, it's dirty, it's grungy, it's old, there's nothing in there. The ranges that you're on, the place where I lived for 16 months, even though they moved me around to a bunch of different ranges, they're all the same. I think it's about a 250 square foot open area, which is very small. It's smaller than the size of my kitchen at my beach house, with tiny little rooms off of that, with a little a metal door that locks at night, and two bunk beds in each room. So you live in that area. The entire range, even with the bedrooms, could fit in the main level of my beach house where I lived, and 12 people live there 24 hours a day. You never leave that range. There's no windows. There's a small shitty TV where people just watch Jerry Springer or Keeping Up with the Kardashians all day.
Oh my God.
And a little payphone where you have to have a PIN number and approved numbers you can call locally only.
Hmm.
That's where I lived for 16 months.
With what other inmates were you staying with?
I was in with everybody from people who have been who are up on charges and have pled guilty to manslaughter to people that are in for breaching curfew.
Right.
It was everybody. Everybody was in there. Didn't matter who they were. Everything from actual violent offenders to people who have really done kind of nothing wrong.
Any major problems at all? I mean, I don't know much about the prison system in Canada, but was it fairly peaceful conditions, or were you threatened and stuff like this? Or
no, surprisingly, it was actually the conditions. Where I'm sure they were hoping that was going to be the case. Maybe, I don't really know. They didn't put me on any gang units, but I think they probably would have got in trouble for that. But no, I think mainly they were just trying to silence me. I didn't have any problems with any of their inmates whatsoever. In fact, I usually got talking to people. I stopped a few fights from happening. You know, you can tell when there's tension going on. You know, when you're in such a small area with 12 people, you know when something's going on. So you just go talk with everybody and see if everything's okay and if there's any way you can kind of resolve any dispute if there is one without the need, you know, so everybody can save face and there doesn't need to be a fight so we get locked down for a week. Because that's what happens if there's a fight, right? They lock you in your tiny little cell with the bunk bed for a week at a time if there's been a fight. And that's the punishment for the whole range. And no one really wants that because you can't get on the phone at all and I'm trying to defend myself in court, so... But everybody was great. I started teaching people their rights. I helped a few people actually get out of jail, which is amusing. I couldn't get myself out because they're really coming after me hard, but it worked just fine for other people in there I was helping. And a lot of people were very receptive to learning their rights, and for the most part, you know, all these people you think are violent offenders that are thrown in these jails, and they're people that society doesn't want around. I've never been to many places in my life where 12 people live in such close, cramped quarters 24 hours a day without really getting in very many fights whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bad. Most of these people is just, it's a bad circumstance that they were in or something bad happened, but for the most part, they're not bad people.
Could you go outside at all? Was there any breaks and stuff like this, or?
Well, they had something that they called fresh air. We called it the bullpen, and it was 20-foot-high concrete walls with a metal roof, and they called that outside. And it was maybe 40 feet by 40 feet square. You couldn't look outside. You couldn't see outside. There was no sunlight coming in. It was just complete nonsense. It actually was so depressing, I just never even went out there.
Wow. Did you get a sense that there was any kind of, psychological issues involved in this here, too, that the guards or something like that were told to... pick on you or anything like that at all?
No, they all knew exactly who I was, and a lot of them were even going to my website and like getting updates and stuff like that, and I guess maybe just out of curiosity because they'd been told about me or warned about me or whatever, I don't know, and they just kind of wanted to know more about what we're doing. But for the most part, no, like nobody was told to do anything to me. I was threatened with solitary confinement for the rest of my stay there, for however long that would be if I kept teaching people their rights and kept talking about the stuff that I do, which didn't stop me from doing that either. I don't care if they threw me in solitary confinement. It's just more proof of what they're doing. But no, nobody, a lot of the guards actually after a while got to see that I'm actually a pretty decent guy and I was peaceful and any of the ranges that they put me on, suddenly had no more fights the entire time I stayed on that range. So, a couple of guys even got to kind of, helping me out with any time I needed to get something done or a fax sent off or something sent out to the courts. They got to start to help me with that a bit instead of trying to stonewall me and make things worse for me.
Right, right. There were a couple of updates, of course, in the meantime on your website and things like that. Did you have access to that or did you have people that could help you with that? Could you go online at all when you were in there?
Oh, God, no. I could barely get a hold of anybody to speak to on the phone. Let alone anything else. For a while there, I couldn't even contact. They were monkeying with the phones, we think, in some way, because after a couple of months, I wasn't even able to call my brother collect out in Alberta, which is about 13 hours away from here anymore. So we had to get him a local cell phone for Brandon and then mail that out to him so I could speak to him and call him locally. And that took a month to get done. And everything that they did was just to basically delay me to block me and to prolong my stay at that correctional facility.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't allowed to transfer anywhere else. I even presented them, I served them with a copy of the international laws under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, where it states that they're not allowed to keep unconvicted people together in poor conditions with convicted people because that has the effect of basically pre-punishing me for something that I have not yet been convicted of. And I said, I want to be sent somewhere else, like another facility, like this Milner Ridge place, where it's not all that bad and you can go outside and it isn't quite so horrible as Brandon Correctional. And I was told point blank that they received instructions from the Attorney General's office of Manitoba that I was not allowed to transfer anywhere. I was there. That's where I was intentionally put, and I was not getting out anywhere else.
Yeah, wow. Is there anything else you want to share with us in terms of the conditions in there or anything that happened or any, misjustice that our audience should know about?
Not really, but you know what? It's Miss Justice, man. You want to talk Miss?
Okay, well, the whole thing is, I get that, but in specific cases inside or something.
You want to talk denial of due process of law? Okay, it doesn't matter what I did. The court clerks in the Winnipeg courthouse tried to prevent us from filing anything and getting hearings of any kind, right to the point of producing fake court orders that said I wasn't allowed to file motions in the court anymore. I was denied the ability to file new motions. I was denied the ability to prepare paperwork properly in the jails at first, and they were trying to tell us at first they wouldn't accept my handwritten motions because I had no other way of producing them. And then they finally tried to say, oh, well, this is lined paper. We're not going to accept that. When I couldn't, that's the only thing I could get was lined paper, and I had to buy it myself from Canteen. They wouldn't even produce it. They wouldn't provide me with anything. So it was preposterous, but people need to keep in mind that, you know what, this is a very, very extenuating circumstance. I am really not liked by the Canadian government and other governments around the world for basically stirring the pot and waking people up. So this doesn't happen normally to people who try to stand up for themselves. I was deliberately targeted. That was made very clear to me. And really, all things considered, you know what, I'm not dead. I wouldn't say it helped my life a whole lot. It caused a lot of problems with my personal life, with my business and everything else. But
of course,
if that's the worst they could do to me, then other than blowing my head off, I guess, then you know what? It shouldn't deter people. It shouldn't deter the people from listening to this. Anybody who wants to get involved in learning the truth, learning their rights, don't let stuff like this deter you. It's not that bad. What I went through was not that bad. I'm sure there's people out there that maybe couldn't go through that, and there's people out there that probably could have gone through it better than I did. So it's not something to be scared of or to think, oh man, look what they'll do to you anyways. I don't want to get involved in this kind of stuff anymore because I'm worried they're going to do the same thing to me they did to Dean Clifford.
Well, that's why they do these kinds of things, of course, making examples out of people, discouraging people from doing this, that, or the other. It's a way of trying to inhibit self-censorship and control people ultimately, but go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure there's a word for it, and I'm pretty sure it's oppression and tyranny.
You got it.
I'm pretty sure that's what the word for that is.
Has any local or otherwise kind of mainstream Canadian media showed any interest in this? Have they talked about the case at all?
No. There was an absolute, from what we can tell so far, media blackout on everything. Even some of the people that we that had done previous interviews with me on CTV News and CBC News and stuff like that, nobody wanted to talk about it. The charges I was up on, they called very serious charges, but never appeared in any newspaper anywhere. They weren't giving it any hype of any kind. It's almost like just in case I do win again, they don't want to give me more credibility, maybe. I really don't know. But no, there was pretty much just silence and crickets chirping from the media on this.
Have you thought about approaching them in some way, or someone can help you out to kind of try to get the case out there a little bit, get some word out for you?
You know, I really don't. And I think the biggest reason for that is I don't care about their media systems anymore. I don't want them to get ratings off of me. I would rather, and I've been so happy about this when I got out, is that there's so many new things out there now. The internet has just exploded. This movement, the truth movement, has just exploded. The alternative media is just on fire right now. I would rather get involved with alternative media organizations and get the story out and start giving the ratings and the viewership to our own alternative media, just like Red Ice Radio. And it did, you know, the minute I got out, we were getting offers from everywhere across the board. People wanted to hear all about this in the alternative media and get the word out to people. And I've been just every day since I've been out, and sometimes I had two in one day now. I've been doing interviews nonstop since I got out.
All right, very good. Yeah, I'm glad it gets out. No, the only reason I ask, of course, and I agree with you, I think it's a good stance, just as a kind of a strategic step, as to take the opportunity to kind of strike while the iron is hot, and maybe potentially try to get it out to some of the sleeping Americans, Canadians out there that are still kind of tuning into the main boob tube, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think they would probably put a very positive spin on any story that they did do, and most people that are watching are still so brainwashed. Anybody watching mainstream television and mainstream news would actually, hear that, oh, well, he had two rifles and two shotguns without a license? Well, he should be in jail. Well, you know, why doesn't he just get a license? The rest of us have to get a license. You know, it's those people that are still in that brainwashed sleeping mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going to reach them anyways.
So was the rifles a big issue here for the official charges later on when they burst into your summer place there, the cabin?
That is the charges. It all revolves around property rights now. And for those people that know a little bit about like the free man movement, if you want to call it that, or the law movement as I used to call it, this all stems from the courts have refused, no matter what I've produced for facts, to recognize me as a living man with inalienable rights as opposed to one of their legal fictions. And they made that very clear that no matter what I've done, they still recognize me as one and the same as the birth certificate identity that is the accused.
Yeah.
That's the whole point here, and that's a violation of international law. That's where the word political prisoner comes in. I spoke about this last night on, I've got my own two-hour live stream video show now on Conscious Consumer Network there, CCN, that we had our first show last night. And I explained to people what a political prisoner is. And people have to understand that a political prisoner is more than just somebody who's standing with a megaphone at a rally or a protest, protesting something and speaking publicly about political issues, who then gets thrown in jail just to shut them up. People have to go and they have to read something called the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, where all the United Nations countries have signed on to this covenant that guarantees that people have the right of self-determination, the right to not be a citizen of the society and the landmass where they live. You have the right to not be politically attached or associated or aligned in any way to any political institution. And what that means is that means that you have more than just the choice of what political party you vote and belong to. It means you have the right to just have nothing to do with government at all and not be recognized as a citizen or a legal person. And I made that choice. And I sent my notice in, and I told them I want nothing to do with their institutions anymore. I do not want to be recognized as one of their legal persons, a member of their organization. Leave me alone. I'm out. It's my choice to leave. So by continuing to reject that and to refuse to recognize me as being a free man, with a space between that word, a free individual, an unincorporated individual, they're actually denying me my rights that they have recognized in that international covenant. So they have forced me into political affiliation with a foreign institution. And that's what being a political prisoner is, when you force politics onto somebody. So they're actually forcing a political institution on you against your will. And now we have massive violations of international law and your rights as a free individual.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, there's, as I said, a lot of other of these kinds of cases in Canada, and it seems that it's also an issue of, you know, sure, they have their paperwork structure, they have their legal issues and what have you, but in some cases they just are in clear violation of this too. They just, cross completely over that, and then they just do whatever they want to do and make sure that the people they want to harass and go after, that they end up in, you know, jail or whatever else they want to do with them. So it seems to, it applies when they want to, and then it applies not when they don't want it to, right?
That's another problem altogether, is that they only pretend to follow even their own laws until it's inconvenient to them, and then they don't follow any of their own laws or procedures or anything. They just come right out and say, okay, well, you know what, as long as we could make it look like we were obeying our own laws, we were going to do that just to lead people to believe that we actually do respect law and order. But we can't do that now, so we're just going to outright just do whatever the hell we want. And that's absolutely what's going on with a number of people right now, which is great, because if we can't win, at least we can expose what they're doing. And then people at least know, oh, okay, so you're pretending to be this free country where you recognize people's fundamental and absolute rights. But when it comes right down to it, you don't at all. You're just tyrants.
I want to ask you a little bit later about some of the things, of course, that you know, the reasons why they go after you. We'll talk more about that later. But I wanted to ask you, did you have a chance to, let's say, you know, read if you wanted to something in there, you know, study some of the issues that you can study, or was it more just you didn't have access to many things at all? I mean, could you at least work out or something like that in there?
Yeah, we had weight room once a day for half an hour, so that alternated between being first thing in the morning at 8 a.m. or sometime in the afternoon. So you'd think you could get more time in to work out when you're sitting there doing nothing, but when you're going through a bit of depression and you're kind of stressed out about court, stressed out about all these things that are going on, it turns out you really don't want to do stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's difficult too when you kind of get sedentary and don't move around at all. You kind of get in a bad rut, right?
It's very demotivating, and once you're that demotivated, it's actually tough to get out of that mentality and that rut. Yeah, but I did a couple of months before I got out. I kind of picked myself back up a bit and started working out again and getting physical and getting back into things after having a pretty bad fall there last year. And I came out in good shape and good spirits and feeling good and ready to start doing battle again if need be. So that wasn't really much of an issue.
Well, not a broken man. I'm glad to hear that. Now, could you, or let me ask you this: is there any chance you might end up in jail again now? What's next here in the procedure as far as you're concerned? As we've been clarifying, this could turn in any way, shape, and form that they want to, because this is just the nature of what they do. But at least in terms of what you've been informed of so far, what's next, and is there a chance you could end up in jail again?
I mean, anything's possible. I really don't believe that's going to happen. I really don't think it's going to happen. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons they did not want me getting out pending trial, was that because I'll have access to all the resources I need to put a real quick end to this. They did not want me talking to people. They did not want me talking to my groups of people and being able to come up with some form of an effective defense. They really wanted me to just to work completely within their system, and they would have probably been able to get a conviction, I'm guessing, or failing that, they at least would have got a year and a half of me in jail for absolutely nothing. But I don't think I'm going to be going back. It's going to be a good fight now that I'm out, and I've got the access to the proper resources that I need. So I'm not terribly worried about that.
So are you going to go after them next, or do you want to try to set things straight? And I necessarily don't mean, going the official route of that kind of paperwork, although I understand if you would want to do that too. But what's your plan here? Are you going to try to have them admit that they've done something wrong? Because obviously, you've lost revenue from your business, you've lost time, a lot of these issues as well, right? So do you want to go after them next?
Well, I've lost more. I've lost personal relationships. I'll never be able to get back.
Sure,
other damages to my life that they're irreparable. So they've caused me irreparable harm now. And you better believe I'm going to be going back after them. And if nothing else, I'm going to prove that their courts are completely ineffective and useless. If nothing else, that is my end goal, is to prove that we have absolutely no remedy and no recourse in their courts, which basically means that their courts are completely ineffective and useless. They're only there to prosecute us and not to afford remedy to people who have been damaged. And if I'm unable to get remedy in the courts using international law and using my rights to prove that they damaged me and didn't have the right to do what they did, I want to basically make everybody understand, or at least see, that these courts are absolutely illegitimate. And there is no point in even going to these courts anymore. Maybe they'll surprise me and I'll actually get remedy, and we'll once again have a competent and legitimate court system. That's actually my hopes. But worst case, that is my ultimate goal, yes, is to prove that no, this is nothing but a system of slavery. We have no access to remedy. The courts are not going to recognize and protect and respect our rights. So everything that they're doing is discredited and completely illegitimate. And maybe at that point, people will realize, yeah, okay, we need to create a completely new system for once, by the people, for the people.
So you're going to present some of your material now at the next court date, and is that one of the reasons why you want to kind of push it back a bit more, so you have more time to prepare and organize everything?
No, for that stuff, that's more of a defensive nature. You can't get remedy. The only remedy you can get in a criminal court is the dismissal of the charges, or for the other party to withdraw because they have no claim, which they don't. Then you're gonna have to go to a civil court, or I'm also looking into bringing actual common law charges against the people, the men and women that are involved in this. And I would love to learn how to navigate the system, and effectively bring common law charges, criminal charges against these people and prosecute them, and then make that available to everybody everywhere so that everybody can start prosecuting these government actors that are stepping well outside of the bounds of the limited authority that we gave them as people.
As far as all the things you know about now, is there any way that what has happened to you is something that could be prevented within any kind of measure by pointing out, I don't know, holes in the legal system or something like that? Or, again, are we just back in the realm that they come and grab you if they want to?
No, I think that there's a lot of things that we can do better and more effectively, and that's one of the things that we've also learned now is what not to do. There's a lot of things I could have done better and that I could have done probably in advance. But there is one thing I can say is that I did send notice to the government, the Institution of Canada, years ago, letting them know that I was leaving. I don't want to be a member of their organization anymore, that I'm now exercising my fundamental rights and freedoms as a living man. I want nothing to do with the legal person anymore. I served the Attorney General of Manitoba with that document years ago by registered mail. And the 5 days that the Manitoba RCMP spent going through my house included them going into my locked filing cabinet. And those files and those original documents with the proof of the registered mail service is all gone. So they went through my files until they found that stuff, and they took it so that I can't prove that I served notice on them years ago.
Hmm. Right. Interesting. Now, is there, do you know about Arthur Topham? He's behind a website called Radical Press. I think he's going to be dragged into jail again now, actually, as well. I don't have the details right in front of me right now, so sorry about that, but I know that he also has had a lot of issues there, and I think that he might be another person that you guys want to team up with in a different way to see, you know, if something can be done about the Canadian legal system, because it seems to be in a lot of trouble right now.
It's in a shambles, and actually, interestingly enough, a lot of even people in the legal community have pointed out the fact that the place where I live, the place called Manitoba, of all the places in Canada, it is the most behind in recognizing and protecting people's fundamental rights and freedoms. The courts here are a joke to the rest of what they call Canada, because we haven't, they haven't really picked up the ball very much, and they're still living in the Stone Age and refusing to recognize people's rights and freedoms. It's a very bad place to be doing this. It's pretty communist here, but yeah. I've never heard of this individual, actually. I don't know who it is. I might have to do some research. Maybe I'll get his name, or you can Skype message his name to me.
Sure.
So I know the proper spelling, and I'll research him, I'll look him up, and who knows, he may be somebody that wants to know more about what we're doing to see if he can defend himself better.
Yeah, exactly. I know he talks a lot about, you know, historical issues, and he's a World War II revisionist, and he has a legal defense fund, the Arthur Topham Legal Defense Fund, and he's, you know, been in defense of people like Ernst Sundell and things like that in the past too, that also was in a lot of legal trouble in Canada, you know, for looking at things and looking into history surrounding World War II and things like that. But, yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get you guys in contact, and maybe there's something that could happen there. But, again, this extends much further. There's a lot of other individuals too, even people that we don't hear about now. But, is there any way, you know, that Canadians can protect themselves from this and these kinds of things? There's a bigger question here, I guess, but could this be turned around in your view? Is this something that could, can we head in a better direction, or is that all shot with as things currently look?
No, there is no question we can improve things, and things already are improving. I think that even over the last year, they've noticed that this didn't deter people. Them taking down a couple of the more well-known individuals around the world and stomping on us as hard as they could, not only did it not scare people away, it actually motivated people to get more involved and actually increase the numbers of people that are starting to get interested in their rights, because everybody saw how wrong what they're doing really is. And they're like, okay, no, this is getting bad, because next is going to be me. You know, now these laws are just getting worse, and these governments are becoming more oppressive. Everybody knows something's wrong. So
yeah,
we can absolutely start to steer this in a better direction. And the way to do that is to become informed. Educate yourself, Don't listen to people like me. We're giving you directions to go out and to look into matters for yourself and do your own due diligence and just educate yourself. That's what this comes down to. We're in this mess because we don't educate ourselves anymore. We rely completely on what we believe to be our governments, and they are not our governments. That's the first thing people need to realize. These are not our governments. They are corporations, and they are not our governments, and they have enslaved us through ignorance, through their public education system, through making us believe from the time we were children that they are government and they make laws and we must obey those laws, and that's not the case. So we need to start informing ourselves. These people, these institutions, are not going to teach us our rights. They're not going to teach us how to be free. They're not going to teach us how to not be their slaves anymore. Why would they do that? So we need to educate ourselves, and we need to stop becoming uninformed consumer whores, because that's what we all are. I talked about that yesterday on my show. I call it the beginning is here. I don't know if you might have gone to my website before there.
Sure.
Before, yeah. I went to jail, and we used to have a little poster on the front there, and it said the beginning is near. And we had a little guy on a ladder looking over a brick wall, you know, and he saw the universe out behind him there. And that's changed now, and it's now the beginning is here. And the beginning is us reclaiming our rights and our freedoms by reclaiming knowledge, reclaiming an education, depending on ourselves, realizing that they're feeding us poison and they're trying to kill us and then, give us sickness and disease and then kill us with chemotherapy once we get cancer from the bad food they're giving us. This is all about education, living properly, learning your rights and freedoms, and just not believing in their puke anymore, their institutional puke, which is what it is. It's garbage. It's meant to distract you. It's meant to make you lazy. It's meant to make you scared to look into your rights because you don't want to wind up like Dean Clifford, so just keep doing whatever they say and, eating their rat poison and getting cancer. So that's all it really takes, is start to educate yourself. And there is no excuse anymore to not do this. You don't have to go down to a law library and spend hours and weeks looking up case law and reading material. All these videos are available online. The internet's here. You don't need to watch TV anymore. In fact, you need to shut that TV off. You need to cancel your cable subscription and stop listening to your TV. That is actually the most important thing, is to stop listening to your television. Life is trying to teach you things, and the television is distracting you. Life is in direct competition with the television now, because that's unreality. So we have real life trying to teach you and unreality brainwashing you. And they're in competition with one another, and it's no wonder we're tired at the end of the day. Your common sense is telling you one thing, but the television is telling you something else, and you want to believe the TV. So you gotta turn that shit off, because people like Henrik here in Red Ice Radio are trying to teach you things. They're trying to motivate you and educate you to help yourself. And we can't compete with the television and all the money that you're giving to the television stations and these corporations for the advertising they pay for when you have a cable subscription. So you need to get rid of that kind of stuff. Get on the internet, educate yourself, and just try to make yourself better, because that's how you help us make this a better world.
I think we're seeing this becoming more and more polarized, people who are just heading completely into oblivion and further into the machine, and then people who are actively trying to disconnect and everything. And I know before you went to prison, Dean, as well, you were talking a little bit about some of the ideas maybe of trying to set something up alternative on the side of creating something where people who actually cooperate and work together can remain. I wanted to just ask you a little bit about some of those ideas, and if you've improved on those, have had any time to think about that even. But one of the kind of follow-on questions to that is, I think we're going to see more and more of those kinds of things, of people who actively, just as you said, disconnect, cut from the mainstream BS and wants to do something that's very much different. Have you thought about any of these kinds of issues?
Absolutely. The last part of my conference in Hamilton, the last 2-3 hours on Sunday, right before I was arrested, we spent talking about my divestment concept. And I've gone a lot further along with that now. I've had 16 months to really perfect it and refine it. And I do have a website. It's deanclifford.info. And right now it's just a link to most of the old videos and updates and other stuff that we've worked on. It's pretty bare bones right now because I've been gone for a while, but we're going to be relaunching that and jazzing it up a little bit. And we're going to have a new forum attached to it again right away. And we really want to push this divestment idea, which is to divest from their system and invest in our own new societies that we build for us the way we want to live. And that's really the best way that we can fight everything that's going on, or not fight what's going on. There's no need to fight anymore. We're just going to leave. We're just going to put in our resignation, say, thank you, I'm done, bye. I'm not going to have your cable subscription anymore. That $150 a month I spent on the Ultimate Package so I could watch Jerry Springer and Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I'm now going to invest that into something that that benefits me and my family down the road. We're going to reinvest that money into our own society and our own little groups and organic farming and other kind of ideas that we got going. So we got to get these divestment communities going around the world so people can all connect with one another. And that's what I want this forum to be, is a place where people who have businesses, who are making products, organic products, can deal directly with the people that want to buy these things, tax-free, bullshit-free, chemical-free. We're just going to build our own society and our own economy. And hopefully people out there start doing the same thing spontaneously on their own.
Yeah.
And we just kill the beast by defunding it, which is what divestment is. We just kill it by stop putting our energy and our money into it, and they will just die on their own. There's no need to fight it. Just stop putting your money and your energy into it, and it will die on its own.
I agree.
And that's what we plan on doing.
Yep, exactly. I think that that's really the wave ahead here. I think we're going to see much more of that. And, well, do you think we'll see any... we know how they operate. They turn everything... They could say whatever. They turn the whole media apparatus against some of these people and to say, oh my God, they're abusing children in their compound, and then we see Waco all over again. My hope on that, though, is that if that is to occur again in the future, if something like that would happen, that a lot of people would become even more suspicious about the government, about what they're doing, and we can also, of course, hear the other side, which is very fortunate. When Waco occurred, there was no real way of them communicating with the rest of the world, etc. So I think if a government did something like this to clamp down, to try to prevent people from disconnecting in this way, I think it would be a completely different game today than it was back in the 90s.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of this divestment concept and building our own economies is we don't need compounds. We don't need our own physical communities anywhere where, okay, this is our physically located community. Anybody who wants to be like us, come and live here. No, we exist basically alongside their society, wherever we are is where our community exists. And we just basically do business with ourselves. We find each other. We do business with ourselves. We start businesses with ourselves. And we just create a whole new functioning society that parallels theirs, but it's ours.
So no geographical proximity here.
It's a completely non-geographically based movement where you just find people that are close to you. Hopefully they can connect through places like our forum once we get it going. So that if you need a business or a service or a product, and you can find it from somebody who is somebody of like mind, then you'll be able to find them and do business with them or associate with them, become friends with them, start a business with them. And we just basically start interacting with each other wherever we are in the world, doing business with one another and not doing business with these people. And we just block them. We boycott them. We shut down their institutions, and we outright do not put any more money into their system. And that'll be slow at first, but as it builds and gains traction, we would eventually be the only functioning economy, and theirs will just die and go away because no one wants to support it anymore.
Exactly. I've been thinking about this a lot, too. An economy that, of course, operates in such a way that you can have people go out into the other world there and still work and all these things, obviously, but then bring money into a bubble which has this, concept within it of trying to support the people who are doing good. And it's only really about connecting the node points and knowing where your people are at, and also knowing, of course, what kind of businesses people have out there and starting supporting these people. And then on top of that, of course, trying to, if you're expanding, try to get involved those kinds of people that are on the same page. And it's really about, at the end of it, and as you say, this might take a long time, but at the end of it, it's really about, as their system crumbles, people are going to be attracted to things that actually work and operate and functions in the world. And with things as they are currently going, I don't see how what is happening out there in the world can be how that can be sustained, basically, and how that can continue forward here. I think it's a good idea. I agree.
Yeah, and it's going to be, and to be honest with you, I mean, I've got some ideas for how to turn this into an actual worldwide political movement as well, like where it's more than just finding other people and connecting with them, but actually getting involved in a real political organization where you join it and become a member of it, no different than the way you're a member of their institutions right now, where they're seeking to deceive you and enslave you, whereas the one that you're joining is the one built by the people, where that kind of stuff is just outlawed. You're not allowed to do that kind of thing, right? Building our own governments, our own societies. We can do that. We've never done it. It's gone from, like, historically throughout history, we went from, like, pharaohs and to monarchs and kings to when they couldn't beat people or put the point of the sword to the throats anymore into submission. They created these fake governments that made us believe we had a little bit more freedom, but they were really just created by those same kings and monarchs that control the governments now. The people have never actually really created a government of their own. They did for a short time in the United States from 1776 right through till about 1871, when their own government swindled them and created a brand new government underneath Congress, and that's the District of Columbia Act, where they basically killed the republic and started a democracy that answers to corporations. So for a short period of history there, what is that, 1776, 1871, I think we had just under 100 years, I guess, then, of a legitimate republic somewhere on this planet, and before they were able to finally contain it and kill it with the use of their lawyers again. So this is why people need to get educated, because when you're sleeping and you're not looking, these kind of people come and steal your rights and your life. And we have to be diligent, and we have to learn our rights and teach our children properly and make sure that they can't be deceived.
Yeah. What do you think about globalism and the path towards world government as a way to, as they are attempting to kind of circumvent national law as well? I mean, because obviously, despite that, nations have been subverted, just as I say, they don't no longer look after the interests of the people. And with everything that's going on that level, it could be that we're jumping from the frying pan into the fire here if we are going to move closer into a world governmental system as a way for them to kind of circumvent this. What do you think they're going to succeed with that in terms of a legal framework of setting something like that up?
No, I think they really tried to rush it in the last few years because they realized everybody was waking up, and all that really did was cause everybody to wake up a little bit faster. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to fall apart very quickly if they don't start a series of world wars all over the place or a series of wars and start a world war to distract us from what's going on and try to get us all to rally behind the war banners to protect our countries or what we believe are our countries and protect these corporations pretending to be governments. So that might happen. I mean, who's to say? But to be honest with you, I really don't see a big problem with governments and a one-world government as long as it's one created actually by us with our best interests at heart, which that's not what we have right now. Again, people have to understand that government is just a tool. It's something man created to try to put some organization to our lives, and is being used right now in a very bad way for an incorrect purpose, for the benefit of a few, and to the detriment of everybody else. So it's just like a hammer. There's lots of things I can do with a hammer. I can use a hammer to build a house. I can also use a hammer to smash somebody's head in. There's two things I can do with a hammer. One's good, one's bad, by the way we perceive good and bad. So we can do good things with it, but we can't right now with the institutions we have because they do nothing but lie to us and deceive us. And that's not a basis for proper government, for a responsible government, because they weren't created by us and they're not created for our benefit. So if the people created their own new society and joined willingly with being fully informed of what everything means and what their duties and obligations to their society are, and they join of their own free will, and they can leave of their own free will at any time, and they're not being lied to, I think that wonderful governments and wonderful societies could be built. But that's what we have to do, is build these institutions ourselves. And if we build these new governments, these new societies, and we simply have everybody leave the old archaic dogmatic institutions and choose to willingly and with informed consent join the new ones that we're building, just the same way that we can deflate and destroy their economy, we can deflate and destroy their governments by simply taking all their people. And we just become the new societies that rule the planet as everybody leaves them and joins the new ones that us people are building.
You know, I hear the echoes of what I perceive maybe possibly some of the dialogues of the founders of, you know, the United States and other organizations and whatnot have spoken about, and how people have, through history, tried to disconnect, tried to achieve something different. I think the trick here is to, something happens, and this is understandable, things get subverted, things get changed and turned around. The trick here is to remain in a position where we continue to educate people about the necessity to not be subverted or turned into something different or transformed or transmuted, to remain vigilant, if you will, against these hijacking attempts that we know always kind of show up at our door. I mean, as we know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. They promise us the stars, and we fall for their lies every time.
You're right. And the problem is with these existing institutions is that they're master snake oil salesmen. They are the kings of used car salesmen, where they promise you the world and they deliver you slavery.
Yeah, they say it's going to improve our lives. This is for better. We're progressing forward. Everything is wonderful. Just go along. And people are sucked into it. They're fooled every time, you know. Sounds good.
Every time. And that's, we got to get used to that and recognize, okay, wait a minute. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And believe me, it was, because these people have delivered us nothing but slavery, misery, debt, wars, death, sickness, disease, everything that is horrible is what they have delivered us. So when are we going to say enough is enough? We see what's going on. You can't change this system because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to kill us and to prosper them. So we need to change all this, and people have to start realizing that, when these people are making promises and they're going to deliver the world to you, you got to be smart enough to say, wait a minute, maybe I should look into this, because you know what? I remember what they did last time, and no, they're full of shit.
Yeah, what do you think people can do to it's a two-pronged thing, of course. It's you know, why not trying to improve things where we are? You know, I get that too, and at the same time, then kind of do what we can to disconnect from it, to become less dependent on the very system that is aiming towards enslaving us. But what would your recommendation be to people who want to seek to try to do something which is far more productive than where we're heading right now? What can they do?
Well, the smartest, the easiest, and fastest thing to do is to stop being a consumer whore. To stop buying all this shit that you do not need, that these corporations are peddling to you on the television. Your houses are filled with shit. You are horribly in debt. You have multiple cars per family you do not need because you're living well beyond your means. You have countless video game systems in your house and televisions and trinkets and this and that. You gotta have the newest iPhone when it comes out, even though the one you bought 2 months ago works just fine. All that shit that you're doing has to stop because you're being enslaved through debt and being a consumer whore. That's the first thing you got to stop doing. That's what, by being informed, an informed consumer is the most important thing. And just decomplicating your life, decluttering your life, getting rid of the shit you don't need, getting rid of cable TV, getting rid of all these video game systems you don't need, and start spending time with your family again. Eating properly. It's cheaper to eat properly than it is to eat their prepackaged puke. Say that real fast 3 times. Prepackaged puke. Prepackaged puke. Stop eating the prepackaged puke. Go plant a garden with your family and grow some food during the summer, and you'd spend time with your family and get away from the television. You don't need all the cars you have. You don't need all the debt you have. You don't need a giant home to impress all your friends. The only person you're impressing is the bankers, because they're getting all your money when you get paid. So it's downsizing and divesting from that way of life, because we've been programmed to want all these things that you don't need. You're programmed to want them. You want all these things. You don't need them. And believe me, life becomes much more rewarding when you don't have this shit anymore. When your life becomes less complicated and more simple and more debt-free. And that's how you start. That's just the start of it. So shopping habits are a biggie. You know what? I'm sorry if your kids get mad at you because you don't want to buy them the newest video game system or the newest games that come out every other week, and they spit on you and call you an asshole and because you don't want to buy them the newest video game system. Well, that's because you're not a very good parent. You got to learn how to parent properly and not be your kid's best friend, but be a parent again start doing things with your kids instead of just plugging them in front of the video game system and believing that that's being a good parent. So, and some of this comes down to looking in the mirror and realizing that maybe you're just, I usually tell people, and I covered this last night, my video broadcast. I said, you have to go and look in front of the mirror tomorrow morning and tell yourself that you're stupid. You don't know a lot of things. You think you're smart, but you're not. You think you're educated, but you're not. You know nothing. And you need to start re-educating yourself and admit to yourself you have a lot to learn. That's the toughest, is realizing that the problem is you. Admit in front of the mirror, I am the problem. I've allowed this to happen to me, and I have to change this, and then go and do it.
Yeah, you know, choosing stuff over other qualities is, of course, a temporary fix as well. It makes people, I think, temporarily feel good, and this makes sense when they realize that they're also are spiritually disconnected. They're completely deracinated. They don't know who they are. They know nothing about their history, you know, where they come from, what they belong to. They're told to feel guilty even these days about who they are. History has been turned against them, and materialism, I think, has become a substitute and a quick fix to fill these the void, the emptiness that people do feel. And so it's really about getting in touch with what you really are as well, your essence, and trying to learn your own history. And I mean, this is the way we've been atomized, and this is the way we become good little consumer soldiers in this global new world order, because that's the way they control you. And I think that, you know, that's why they don't want people to look for the deeper answers or figure out what really happened or look at history, revision, and, you know, all these kinds of issues. So I think it's really important to realize it's a multi-pronged kind of issue that goes on here. And the very fact that we have to discover who we are again, of getting in touch with our real culture, with our real roots, is absolutely essential for us to be able to disconnect and to be lured in by these, temporary things that we choose over quality of life, you know?
Well, that's just it. People are made to feel pretty worthless in today's day and age. And I think I'm glad you said that, to fill that void, this void people feel in their lives, because their lives are so awful. They have a job they hate. Their family sucks. Their family life is garbage. Their kids hate them. They don't get along with their wife. TV is about the only place where you can escape all of that. You just feel empty inside because nothing you're doing feels rewarding. So you fill it with all this shit, this crap you don't need that they're trying to tell you this will make you feel better if you buy this. And it doesn't. So you keep buying more and more shit and filling your houses with garbage and spending money and going further into debt thinking that this is what's going to make you feel better. We're going to be a good family. We're going to be a perfect family now if we just buy this and we buy this. That's the cycle that has to end. And people have to start realizing that when you do start realizing that you have value, and when there's other things you can do, with family to feel rewarded and start feeling like you have value again, start empowering yourself. I think that's the big reason that I like that people go and start educating yourself and realizing what's going on and looking around the world and, seeing what is happening with these laws and these governments and how they're scamming you and this big illusion that's going on, is you actually feel empowered once again. You don't feel powerless anymore. And once you start feeling empowered again, like you do have some control in your life and you are worth something and you can educate yourself and this stuff really isn't that difficult, you start to feel empowered. And empowerment is a big, big thing, because you start to feel motivated again when you're empowered. And I just went through that in jail, where you feel very powerless because you're stuck in there. The courts are not recognizing any of your rights and freedoms. So you feel demotivated because you feel completely powerless in your situation. And as soon as you start to feel empowered again, your motivation level goes through the roof and you want to start actually doing things again. And they don't want you to do that. They want you to go to them for everything. And I'm telling you to do everything yourself. Do it yourself.
Because and get with people who also can do things for you and be specialized. You still can, you know, attain a level of, comfort, if you will. But I think there's plenty of people out there who are good at different things, right? So it's not about us having to learn everything from scratch, but get with people who know how to do shit, right?
Yes. They want you. oh, you know what, we should have organic food. We should have access to organic food. So instead of getting together with a few people and growing your own organic food or doing it yourself in your garden, you protest to the government. You try to force the government to pass a law or force a corporation or do something to provide you with what you want. Instead of just going and finding your own source or maybe doing it yourself, you go to these institutions they've provided you with and try to get them to do it for you, and that is why you are powerless.
Yeah. The bankers love it. Dependency, that's absolutely all what it's about. That's ultimately control, you being in their hands. And then it doesn't really matter what you do or what you do within those confines, within the playpen that they've been giving you, because you can, you know, jump around there all you want and do, you know, try different things. But ultimately, if we don't disconnect from that and if we don't realize that it's the dependency of them that is enslaving us, then it doesn't matter what we do. So what are you going to do next here, Dean? I know you're going to prepare for the case. I hope you manage to stay out of prison and not end up there again. It's very important, of course. But do you have any bigger plans here next? You talk about your forum and those kinds of issues, but what's next for you?
Well, I got all sorts of plans because I want some restitution. I want some remedy for the wrongs I've suffered, and I'm not going to stop until I get them. And I've made it clear to these people before that if they would have just left me alone, nobody probably would have ever heard of me. I really wanted to just live in a cabin in the middle of nowhere and just be left alone, to be unknown and unremembered in history and have a wife and some kids and just be a recluse for the most part. So everything I'm doing is a direct result of their interference in my life and their refusal to recognize my fundamental rights and freedoms and my right to be left alone and my right to just go be by myself somewhere and go fishing and have a business and not have them intrude on my life. So until I'm compensated and until I see things getting better, I'm just, they brought a war to my doorstep. They started this. I got no problem fighting back. And if you read the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is just a declaration but doesn't have any real force of law, but it does say right in there that when a man is denied all forms of remedy, he's authorized to use acts of what they call barbarism, acts of barbarism to get the remedy that he's due. Now, I don't have any acts of barbarism planned, but what I do have is a political movement planned, or at least raising the awareness of people around the planet and getting everybody involved and learning their rights and building these new societies and these new economies until we destroy them if need be, until they don't exist anymore. So that's what I got planned, is I am not going to stop until they respect my rights, they leave me alone, and they pay me back for the damages that they've caused me. And so until then, you're going to be hearing a lot more of me until they come and shoot me, I guess. Maybe they'll just blow my head off at some point, like Martin Luther King or something. I have no idea. But I'm not going to stop. So, yeah, we're going to get forums together. We're going to get groups around the world started. We now have contacts in every country around the planet for the most part. People that want to head up an organization in their neck of the woods, in their territory, in their landmass, where people are going to be able to contact them, get together with them. We're all going to start networking. And we're just going to build. And I encourage people to do this on their own and not even in association with anything that we got going on, because this has to be just people around the world just doing. Just go out, do for yourself, start building something. There can't be just one organization or institution for them to go after. This has to be death by a thousand cuts. We have to bleed them to death by a billion paper cuts, which means a billion people out there actively learning their rights and fighting back against this and exercising their rights and freedoms and just asserting themselves. So that's what I want to see happen. And I'm not going to stop pushing for this until that happens.
All right. Well, very good. It's been great to have you back, Dean, and speak a little bit about what happened to you, the way you were treated in prison, of course. And, you know, please keep us up to date as well with what's going on and what happens next year. But I guess in the meantime, the website is going to be the best place to be. Do you want to give us those details again, and if there's any other way that people can get a hold of you if they want to help you out or something like that?
Yeah, if anybody wants to help us out, and again, we're trying to provide everything we can here absolutely free of charge, despite the fact that, you know, I just spent 16 months of my life in jail to bring people as much knowledge as I possibly can. So we got our website, which is deanclifford.info, and that's where a lot of our updates are. And very soon now, there's going to be a lot of links on that website, one of which is going to be to the forum. And we're going to have our own, we'll call it a Facebook-type utility, but it's going to be started out as a forum for now where people can find other people in their area or contact us or join and get involved. And we're just going to kind of let it take on a life of its own where people can just kind of find each other around the world and even find more information on how to get actively involved themselves. So there's going to be more links onto to the site as we build it, and maybe even get a better sounding website. I mean, deanclifford.info was originally something we started just for just so people could find us and find our videos and whatnot. But it's going to become more than that. And other than that, like I say, every Monday now from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time in Canada, which is 45 minutes from right now, but it's going to be every Monday, is a live stream video news broadcast that I do for 2 hours every Monday on Conscious Consumer Network, and that's CCN. So that just started. We just had our first one yesterday, and we're going to just start talking about new topics every week. It's going to be live, and we're going to have the archives linked to the website the next day for people that can't watch live. So we got those two things, and other than that, I normally don't plug myself for things, but hey, if anybody appreciates what we're doing out there and any of the knowledge we provided has helped them in any way, shape, or form, hey, we got a donate button at the website there to help us to build this forum. And we're starting to buy farms. We're starting to actually build what we talk about. We're not just talking shit. There's going to be some videos up pretty soon of the properties that we now own, that we are renovating, the farm that we've bought, and there's going to be more coming to start growing organic food to supply to people. And we need people to get involved. And hey, if you want to chuck us $10 to help us out, great. And we're going to have updates on what we're building and how things are coming along in the real world as we go.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like you guys have a plan. So in the meantime here, then we send people to deanclifford.info. We're going to have the website up. And yeah, thanks, Dean. It's great to have you back. Good speaking with you again. I'm glad that you're out, and I'm glad that you are willing to keep fighting and that you didn't become a broken man in prison. So keep up the good work.
More determined than ever. And thanks for having me on again. And everybody out there, you know what? Support organizations like Red Ice Radio. Help them out. Email links to news broadcasts like this one to your friends and family just to get the message out and try to wake up as many people as possible. If you got to get business cards made up and flyers done in your local area with our websites and our addresses for Red Ice Radio, for deanclifford.info or anything else, become active. Activism. Speak out. Don't be afraid to start passing out flyers and business cards and putting up flyers in store windows the same way they do for bands when they're advertising for new bands and stuff like that. Just activism. Get out there. Get the word out and get the message to the people.
All right, Dean. Thanks so much. We'll speak again soon, okay?
Sounds excellent. Nice talking with you again, and bring you back anytime you want.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. There's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Okay, well, before we wrap up here for today, let me tell you about some of our upcoming guests. We have Dr. Joseph Mercola next. Then we have Mike Cross, Marion Van Court, Joseph Atville, Brandon Martinez, and Brian N.C. Patrick. Well, have a great weekend, my friends, wherever you're at, and we'll be back here in just a couple of days. Take care and stay brave.